Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And I'm Tierney.
Dave and Tierney are back. Welcome back, everybody.
Because you can't get rid of us.
It's another day, and you're just like Ambrose. We're like Ethan. You can't get rid of us. We're going to find you no matter what weird island you go to. And we are on minute 88. Minute 88 begins with the brutal truth about Naya's fate and ends with Billy peeping on some rock climbing.
I have so many questions in this minute.
All right. Well, good. Luckily, we're doing a podcast where that's all we do is talk about your questions. Begin. Question number one.
Question number one is, what is this place? It is not subtle. Is this a bad guy hideout? Is it an island? Does that cause me to make it not an island? Why? What do people think is happening here?
It obviously looks like a bad guy island, so.
It looks like a bad guy island.
I will explain to you what bad guy island is. Earlier in the movie, we saw it when Luther was fumbling through some of Biosite's holdings. They were going to the building schematics. They also have a schematic of this island. It's called Bear Island. And Bear Island is a underground bunker bad guy lair.
Daddy Bear Island, maybe.
I guess it's for testing, but in this, it looks like it looks like a jail.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Rock.
So.
It looks like Maine. It's not. It's Australia. It does. But it looks like Maine, especially when he's climbing up on the rock.
This probably wasn't filmed in Australia. They probably went to Maine just to film this. Because we're just somewhere. We're like on an island somewhere, and they didn't establish where we are. Like, is this the base? Is this the sheep farm? Who knows? Anyway.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more when we see it, when he gets up there in the next couple of minutes. We'll talk about the structure that's in there. Mm. This minute begins with us learning that Ethan knows what's going to happen to Naya. Naya's going to off herself. And the guys are a little taken back by that.
Here's what annoys me about that. He says Naya will take care of Naya. He says it almost as a like, well, she'll take care of herself. And the guys are aghast. And it's just like, this woman has agency. Can you all deal with it? Like, she has been infected with something that she knows will kill her in 20 hours if she had, like...
Well, 8 hours, 57
minutes.
Not
to, like, encourage her to do that, but it is a reasonable response to her situation.
Agreed. And that's one of the things, remember we were talking about it way back in 86 or whatever minute it was. Yeah, 86, we were talking about it. I said, this movie actually does make an interesting choice in that they don't show the clock anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not about the Chimera virus infecting Naya. It is about getting to her before Naya kills herself. And he doesn't know when she's going to die. So, like, what do you do?
I just hate this line reading. It sounds like he is, like, disgusted that she would do this.
Yes. Yeah, it... They look at like, oh, why would she kill herself? Because she's gonna die.
Yeah,
she assumes that she's dead. She's never worked with the IMF before, and she's met Billy, so she thinks they're gonna fail.
I assume that that she's gonna kill herself not because she's gonna die anyway, but because it's the right thing to do not to infect all of Australia.
You know?
And these guys are like not getting that point. You know, that's how I saw it.
And it is a twist on the ticking clock. Yeah. Like, we don't see the ticking clock again until later, until the end.
Which drives me nuts, but what else?
Naya has never met Luther. Okay, yes, she met Billy, but she doesn't know, like, he's with the IMF.
I was going to say, she's definitely not met him.
She's not met Luther other than him running up to her with the camera. Yeah. She met Billy because he had her put in the earpiece. So, I mean, they did talk. Right, she doesn't know that Billy is one third of this team, which is a really big thing you should probably tell somebody up front. Yeah, I fly a helicopter.
You direct a swim fan?
I hold guns. I lube up the guns so they're nice and oily.
Okay, oh my God, let me see. So, Naya doesn't really know those guys, so she would be putting her trust in Ethan. And she doesn't trust Ethan to save her. So she is willing to do what needs to be done if he doesn't. And he is disgusted by the idea that Naya would do what needs to be done if he can't save her in time. Because, of course, she should believe that he will save her. Because he yelled, just stay alive, before jumping out of a hole he made in the side of a building.
Mm-hmm. Feel better.
I hate men.
He also yelled feel better at her earlier in the movie.
I hate men.
Why couldn't she just go to a hospital and just be like, hey, quarantine me?
I probably wouldn't, though. If some crazy person walked in and said they were infected with a disease, you wouldn't. It would get out.
Because there's no way for her to prove what's happening. No.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. I guess that's true. Yeah.
I mean, look at her. She's just wearing children's clothing. They're going to think she's crazy.
And she's like thin as a rail. So, I mean, come on.
That's what women's clothing looked like then.
Yeah. So I think later on, we'll find out she figures out the best thing for her to do is just walk away from everybody and then kill herself somewhere remotely. We'll get to that later, too, how long it takes to walk
enjoy
from
that
where she was at sea level.
Realism.
From some sea level, at least, I don't know, 800 feet in the air.
Now, how long would it take to get up that mountain?
They're really not worried about the time. The ticking clock is not a thing that anybody's worried about in this movie.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, a real estate developer from New York City is here.
Oh, yeah. And that's John C. McCloy.
The return of John C. McCloy.
Dramatic.
Hello, everyone. You may remember me from last week when they kept calling me because there was my phone number is listed in the records at the Biosite building. So I'm the first one they call, but I'm above the building manager. We learned this last week in a screenshot
Poor
we found.
Clem.
It actually says John C. McCloy, phone number, then building manager, phone number. So let me say this. I've had a busy night. Because my building blew up.
I'd love to see what, you know, John C. McCloy was doing this entire time while just, you know, just waiting around.
Of this movie from his point of view?
Well, one good thing about Gleason, he's really good at fighting alligators while in Maine when he was still was with the sheriff department at the Fish and Wildlife Foundation.
I would do a whole retrospective of just Brendan Gleason in every movie he's ever been in. It'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes, he's great.
I love him.
Not enough to call him Brendan, though. He only calls him Dom.
I call him Brendan now. That was a weird brain thing
for
that was
three or
going
four weeks.
My head.
Yeah, exactly.
He had Chimera. It was a problem, but it's fine now.
I'm feeling much better now.
We've got it taken care of now. It's all
you know
good.
What would help? Some baby aspirin.
Baby aspirin.
John C. McCloy is standing in the middle of we don't know this at this moment, but he's in Bear Island, and then the. Cavalcade of the Ambrose, another word you guys, I'll cut this part out. We're calling them Ambrose's guys are Ambrose, AM-Bros.
Yep.
They're Ambrose. The group of Ambrose come in with a giant car and looks like two more Camrys behind them and two motorcycles. So this is the Ambrose team coming to Bear Island.
Ambrose, I like it.
I guess they had a spare squad at the sex dojo because they killed everybody at the biosite.
And
so
what purpose do the motorcycles serve? That's what I want to know.
Coolness?
I guess they'd seen a couple of John Woo movies as well.
They were like, let's take the car. No, he's wearing the black denim. Oh, go get the motorcycle.
We don't want to sit anywhere next to
him. We got to ride the motorcycles. You know, I borrowed this from some of the guys that drive motorcycles. I don't drive motorcycles. I just like to dress like I am. If you noticed my bottoms, I'm wearing chaps. So he's also wearing chaps. You haven't seen his legs yet, so you can't tell me he doesn't wear chaps.
The man makes a good point.
Okay, what do they need to hide? What do they need to hide on this place? Like, what does Biosite need to store in this bunker?
Look, we have a lot of helium that we sell on the black market. And this is where we keep it. This is the entire Australian helium reserve.
We can't have people
kept on
getting
Bear Island.
Supply.
Keep all the helium in the island.
Oh no, we got a leak again.
See, I keep hearing Bear Island and thinking about Game of Thrones, and now I'm thinking about going to be thinking about Dragonstone every time we see John C. McCloy.
It is kind of Dragonstone-y, isn't it?
It really is.
I like it better as Bear, B-E-A-R.
Yeah.
Arr. That's where Biosite held all their bears.
They go to, once they're on Bear Island, because John C. McCloy would say it like Bear Island. The helicopter flies around, and we get a push in, kind of like we did at the beginning of the movie, of Ethan Hunt climbing. You guys got a climbing scene.
Do. Oh, wait, no, that's not the song.
That's the song.
Well, I mean, that's the song for Mission Impossible. That's not his special climbing song, though.
That's Iko Iye. My grandma said to your grandma, sitting by the fire. I wish he's listening to that. He's not.
Yeah, you see, Billy, he's wearing his little, he's lucky's beanie.
Hey, that's my lucky beanie. He's wearing it. Oh, that's nice that Billy gave him his lucky beanie. Yeah, Ethan is wearing his lucky beanie and climbing up the mountain. And that's where this minute ends with the helicopter, I guess, landing after they dropped him off.
I'm so angry because I love helicopters. So I was all excited. I'm like, ooh, a really good helicopter shot. I'm so excited. And then I'm like, where the beep are they? Like, what is happening? Where they're watching him, but they're far enough away that none of the Ambrose notice them.
Or any of the people from Biosite, they have guards on the top of Bear Island.
Helicopters are not subtle.
Especially when Billy's driving them.
Yeah. And looking with big, huge-ass binoculars out into the void, you know?
Now, did Ethan rappel down or get a little boat across and then paddle over the island? Like, did Luther, like, lure him in a helicopter and then fly him over? Like, how did he get here? He was just here with Luther and the helicopter and Billy, and now he's just there.
Oh, did he Indiana Jones it and, like, jump out with it and just inflate it in the air and land on it? Yep. And
oh, I like that better.
Okay, so Ethan is miraculously dry.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not even wet.
And he is miraculously climbing up this mountain while the helicopter sits in plain sight on top of the mountain, an adjoining abutment of rock.
No sense.
Those binoculars are not that powerful, or they're incredibly close, and the Ambrose should totally be seeing them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, those aren't like super crazy binoculars. They're just regular binoculars. And if you look in the back real quickly, you see Luther looking out the window. I really wish Luther was working on that computer and would stop looking at what's happening right
exactly.
now. And that's we get our tiny little shot of John C. McCloy, and he's climbing up the mountain, and that's where this minute ends with. I guess they. Lucky guess, guys. Good
they
job.
Got the right island, I guess.
Did they know? I mean, they obviously had the schematic, but how did they know this was going to be where they were going to meet?
Yeah. That's a good question.
Biosite is a multinational corporation. What if they get there and there's like a note? It's like a picture of Ambrose in the Bahamas with John C. McCloy, and they're both like, you know, tinking glasses with those those metal hot dogs, like, you know, clinking glasses. Like they have their arms, you know, intertwined, like they're on a honeymoon. And it just says, thinking about you, Ethan.
From Predator, where their arms are interlocked, you know?
You son of a bitch. From that scene that Swanbeck scene that we had that Dave and I so meticulously recreated for you guys.
Lovingly.
It seems like they knew where they were. It seems like this was the first, even like whisper that there is more than three people on this IMF and one guy in charge of them.
The IMF, the CIA, calling the big dogs and just blow up this whole island. Just take the whole thing out. And then they could just be like, oh no, the whole place exploded.
All the helium blew up and gave everyone chimera. Who knew? Who knew how helium was so deadly? Why not blow, lays the target from where Billy is and blow the whole
thing? That's what I was thinking.
Get some of that VX rocket gas that I've heard everyone loves.
All right, that's definitely the VX gas from The Rock. That's definitely Michael Bay is definitely going, I think this is a little too similar.
I mean, it is basically The Rock, so why not just blow it to hell with the elegant string of pearl, with the elegant string of pearls?
Because he's trying to save Naya. That's the only reason he's actually there.
Naya's not on the island.
No, but he needs the Bellerophon to save her.
And the bad thing is about this scene is we don't get to see the van number because I think the van number is on the other side.
Yeah, I think the helicopter nubbin.
That is a helicopter nubbin. We got nubbins in this.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm so sorry. I call it the van nubbin. Yes, the helicopter nubbin. We can talk about it next episode. But ballpark, what size jacket do you think John C. McCloy wears? Husky?
52, 54, something like that.
He's a big man.
Big guy.
What? Everyone get in this. I have a motorcade outside. I got a bunch of Toyota Camrys. Let's
call
all
motorcycle.
Oh, damn it.
I'm happy to be in a van. I assume it's bulletproof glass, though. Keep the windows rolled up.
It's blast bulletproof AC. Glass, but everything else is flammable.
Exactly.
But yeah, we're going to go to Tekevep in our little, I got a lift. It's lift outside. You know, that was a nice ride. I think I'm going to give that guy 5 stars.
I don't know if he deserves it or not, though. There's no sodas in the van, man.
You can't have soda. They had water and mints.
It's not a soda.
The mints were open. Is that cool?
No.
They were a little they're a little wet. Let's talk about some texts of the Epps. Chris.
Texts of the Epps.
Tell me about texts of the Epps you think there should be that we should talk about today.
The texts of the Epps that I liked today was the lighting as John C. McCloy was walking down that hall. The John C. McCloy
lighting. Make sure you get my giant back.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah, he's got kind of this Joker lighting going on right now.
It's like crazy, it's man.
And I thought he was wearing a pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
He's not.
No. It's just the lighting. That's some good lighting.
Yeah, good choices. Good choices.
But the sun is a completely different spot above. In the other shot. So, you know, I mean.
I find that being lit from above makes me look slimmer.
Get used to those bars, buddy.
Use these bars, kid. Uncle Jailbird Joey. Mm-hmm. That's two references to Back to the Future this week.
Yes.
It's a good movie.
Tierney, what about you? Was yours also the lighting?
I was going to give it to the lighting director, but I will say there was another piece of tech that I very much appreciated in this minute, and that was Luther's glasses. They're doing a lot of work for him.
They're really nice, aren't they?
They do okay.
They did their job.
I like them. Well, I mean, remember this movie also has a lot of weird sunglasses.
Yeah, Ethan's glasses these are actually get all the attention, and Ambrose has his villain glasses, and I was just like, no, Luther, I like Luther in these movies, so I am happy to throw something positive in that general direction.
We like him, too. We just wish he wasn't relegated to the van all the time.
But his other option is being with Billy, so I think he probably likes it in the van.
I would rather die. Then hang out with Billy.
Yeah, Luther just has his headphones on and he's just not listening to Billy. He's just like, and then Billy turns to him. He's like, I can't believe what Ethan's doing. And Luther's like, I can't hear what these, I can't hear what the headphones on. No, I work on this laptop. Not ready yet. Where's Naya? And then Bill,
Luther, do you have your headphones on? And Luther's like, I can't hear you. Okay, we'll talk later. No problem.
40 seconds until you fix your laptop. 39 seconds until the laptop. 38 seconds until you fix your laptop.
Is that him counting down to fixing it? Dave, what about you? What's your tech?
It's got to be a helicopter nub. And that's how they're getting... That's the only way that they're able to talk to Ethan anymore is the helicopter nubbin.
My tech of the app? The Toyota Corolla from 1999.
It was probably an N98.
Okay.
But it could have been another one.
Hold on, I'm looking at...
They imported these cars from America. They imported the best line of mid-90s sedans.
Yeah.
It took for that. These cars come over slow.
Yeah.
And also, it's a rental, so those are never, like, top-notch.
No.
You want to know how much it is right now on Carfax?
How much?
$1,400.
Wow.
We, too, could have the top-of-the-line Toyota Corolla for $1,400.
Yeah. Nice.
I think you have a new Patreon goal.
Yeah, for the amount of money you're about to donate to Tierney's CF Foundation thing, you too could own a Toyota Corolla.
That's funny.
That's a lot. Oh, we of just drive it around. Nice.
We could just drive it around in Portland, just all of us in it, wearing denim. Okay, we got to buy a ton of denim.
We need just so many denim jackets.
Yeah, these are top of the line cars for Ambrose. They have a CD player installed.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna rip that thing apart. We gotta get one of those things that's the tape player that's connected to the CD player by a giant wire.
I might have one of those somewhere in this house.
But unfortunately, the only thing it plays is the Limp Bizkit theme to this movie.
Great. Sounds great. That doesn't sound bad at all.
Oh yeah, baby, just loop this. Loop the Smash Mouth. Just go. We gotta get a bias. We gotta go now. Let's play that All Star.
Great place to end. As usual, Tierney, Dave, you both were great today. We're going to come back tomorrow for Minute 89. If you guys want to find us, MinuteImpossible.com, Patreon.com/MinuteImpossible, at MinuteImpossible on Twitter. Until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Dave.
And I've been Tierney.
This minute will self-destruct.